Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Mother's Day is a wonderful time that we recognize on the second Sunday in May each year. And hopefully that's not the only day of the year that we appreciate mother, mom, whatever you call. We celebrate it with flowers and cards and presents and our presence, CE ending. Attend church with our mothers when we get the opportunity. And some may wonder how this holiday came about. But more importantly, I think we need to consider what our mothers deserve, not just today, but every day, considering the impact that mothers have had in our lives and are still having, whether we are fortunate enough to have our mothers with us or whether or not we are, or whether we are still living in ways that mom taught us, things that we remember from childhood when we were still tied to our apron strings, as it were. In 1907, a woman named Anna Jarvis in Philadelphia started a campaign to honor mothers. This was a couple years after her own mother had passed away. And in 1910, West Virginia was the first state to formally recognize Mother's Day, and then the following year, nearly every state in the Union recognized Mother's Day. And in fact, in 1914, then President Woodrow Wilson officially proclaimed Mother's Day as a national holiday on the second Sunday in May. Miss Jarvis' great accomplishment soon became a disappointment for her, however. She became very enraged and upset at how something that was supposed to have such a genuine, heartfelt air about it was being commercialized. And in fact, in 1923, she filed a petition to have the National Observance of Mother Day stopped because of how it had been corrupted in her mind. It wasn't what she envisioned. And she was eventually arrested for disturbing the peace at a mother's convention where carnations were being sold to the attendees who were required to have them. That was her symbol for mother, was a white carnation. But they were being sold to raise money. And she stated, "I wanted it to be a day of sentiment and not a day of profit." And I can't help but think of Jesus in the temple when he went in on two occasions and overturned the tables of the money changers in the temple. Said, "This is supposed to be a house of worship and you've made it a den of thieves." There's more to mothers than cards and flowers and gifts, and they deserve so much more. And so I want to take a lead here from Christ our Lord and see how our Lord and Savior was impacted by his mother, and then ultimately how she was impacted by him. And so we're going to look first at the mother of Jesus. And I'd like for you to turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 1 just for a moment. And after giving us the genealogy of Jesus, verse 18, the narrative of his life His earthly life begins. And the record says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And this is impartial fulfillment of what the Bible tells us back in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. But we see that she was obedient to God. Oh, that more mothers today were obedient to God. And specifically, we read from this text that she was obedient to God's law of chastity. She was a virgin. She was unmarried. And according to God's law, both under the Old Testament law, which at this time Mary was, and today's law, if a person has never been married, God expects them to be a virgin. That's not popular in today's culture. It's laughed at, it's scorned, it's mocked. But it's still God's law. A person who is not married has no right to have sex. Period. I don't care what Hollywood says. I care more what the Holy Word says. Mary was a wonderful example to all of us. She was engaged, but she knew that didn't give her the right to have sex. And she's to be commended. So not only was she obedient to God's law of chastity, she was also obedient to God's civil law. Turn with me to Luke, the second chapter. Beginning in verse 1, and it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed or registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So she knew that as a faithful believer, as a child of God, that she had to comply with civil law. There are many occasions in which we can skirt civil laws, at least we think we can. But the mother of our Lord Jesus was obedient to civil law. And that's the same requirement that we have today, not only for mothers, but for all mankind. We have to be obedient to civil law, provided that civil law does not require us to go against the Word of God. a lot of folks made a big deal about not wanting to wear masks during the COVID mask mandate. I didn't like wearing them any more than you did. But there was a time when civil law, strongly encouraged, I guess, that we wear. Nothing about wearing a mask violated scripture. So when I was required to, I wore one. As soon as it was lifted, I threw it away as far as I could. Speed limits. That's civil law. As children of God, we're expected to obey civil law, including speed limits, stop signs, tax payments, and on and on and on we could go. But the mother of our Lord, she did what she had to do. She obeyed the civil law. And most importantly, she was obedient to God's law, which at this time, again, was the law of Moses. If we go down a little further in Luke, after the birth of Jesus, and we look at verse 21, and when Jesus was 8 days old, it says, when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. She was obedient to the Mosaic law in that she had her child circumcised, her male child circumcised, when he was 8 days old. Of course, we know now why 8 days, because that's when vitamin K was at the highest level in a human being. Vitamin K is necessary for the clotting of blood. How did they know that back then before we had all the medical journals that we have today? Maybe it's because the Bible was inspired of God and man didn't write it himself. If you'd asked Mary and Joseph back then, what's vitamin K? They would say, don't know. But they knew the law of Moses said to circumcise the child when he was 8 days old, because at no other time in his life would he have such a natural deposit of vitamin K, that important blood clotting factor in his little body. But she was obedient. And so when the 8 days were accomplished, she obeyed the law of Moses from Leviticus chapter 12 and verse 3. In verses 22 to 24, we find that she continued to be obedient to the law of Moses in that she obeyed the laws of purification after childbirth. Verse 22, and when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. The Magi, the three wise men, they hadn't visited Jesus yet. How do I know that? Because they offered a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. They were too poor to afford a lamb. Okay, but a provision in the law said, if you cannot afford a lamb, you can substitute with a turtle dove or pigeons. Well, what did the Magi, what did the wise men bring Jesus? Gifts of what? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know, if they'd have brought gold to Joseph at the moment baby Jesus was born, Joseph could afford a lamb. So we know the Magi, the three wise men that we always see in the nativity scenes at the birth of Jesus, letting in, they weren't there yet, okay? They weren't there for a while yet. Notwithstanding, she obeyed God's law of purification. She had to remain unclean for a certain amount of days, according to Leviticus 12, 2 through 8. If we go over to verse 41 of chapter 2, she further obeyed the law of Moses when the Bible says that her parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover, as was required by the law of Moses. And she observed it. And of course, that's when 12-year-old Jesus disappeared for a little time. and caused quite a stir for a couple days. And she continued, she had continual devotion to her son. If we turn back to our text in John chapter 19, after Jesus has grown, has gone through his 3.5-year ministry, and he's now suspended between heaven and earth on a Roman cross. And I imagine Jesus in such a horrible predicament. He's got the thieves on either side of him railing for a time, the people walking by and shaking their heads and shooting their lips out at him and ridiculing. And Jesus has to look out and see his darling mother looking up at him on the cross crying. Can you imagine the tortured look on Mary's face as she stands at the foot of the cross and gazes upon her firstborn? Talk about the heart of a mother breaking. And I think the heart of a son breaking. Because if I know anything about our Lord Jesus, he didn't want his mother to have to see him that way. What mother wants to see their son in agony, or their daughter, for that matter, whoever? What mother wants to see their child in such a shape as that? We assume by this time that Joseph has died. He's not in the picture for whatever reason. We don't know. But Mary was present at the key recorded events all through Jesus' life. And she had conducted herself in such a way that Jesus was concerned about the welfare of his mother after his passion. Let's notice that text again in John 19. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Now, I need to stop right here. You might think, well, that's a pretty disrespectful way to talk to his mother. Woman. You got to remember, they didn't live in the United States. They didn't live in a culture of political correctness or mind-numbing wokeness. At the time, this was a term of endearment. And remember, Jesus wasn't speaking in English either. He was speaking in Aramaic. The woman, or the word, translates into English probably best as woman, but think of it more in terms as dear lady. This was a very touching moment. Woman, behold thy son. Behold. At this moment, he says, you realize what's happening here. You realize that I'm dying. And yes, even though he was going to rise again the third day, and even though 40 days later, you know, he was going to have these next 40 days, but he was going to be ascending to heaven. Jesus was no longer going to be on earth to care for his mother. The Christ was going to have to go to heaven. If it had been up to Jesus, the man, he probably would have stayed to take care of his mother. But Christ, the Son of God, knew he had to go. And in fact, he told his disciples in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. So this is how children are supposed to regard mother, their parents. In his last one of his last acts as a human being, when he was suffering literally excruciating pain, literally out of the cross pain, his thoughts was to take care of mom. So what do our mothers deserve from us? They deserve our care. Parents, especially widowed mothers, deserve our utmost care, as Jesus knew it should be. We see Paul's instruction over in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4. Paul writes, "But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God." In verse 8, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for they of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel," an unbeliever. In verse 16, "If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them who are widows indeed." What's a widow indeed? A widow indeed was a widow who had no means of income. She had no children to provide for her, to care for her. She had no nieces or nephews. She was essentially on her own. Those widows were to become, you know, let the church take care of those. But if you had children, or if you had nieces or nephews, they should care for the widows. Of course, this was before Social Security. This was before any of the government helps that we have today. But that still does not dismiss you and me from properly and lovingly caring for those who cannot care for themselves, especially those with that, I think, noblest of all earthly titles, mother. James 1:27. We're to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions. That is pure religion. Indeed, children are to be the parents' Social Security. So some may require professional care. They can get to the point where we are not equipped to care for them. And so we might have to enlist professional help, whether it be home health care, whether we have to put them in a facility where they can receive the proper care. Sometimes that is the loving thing to do. Let's not be too eager, though. There's an old song the Stanley Brothers used to sing, and I know you don't have any idea who the Stanley Brothers were, but they had a song about old and in the way. Mom and Dad were just old and in the way. And that song was sang in the 50s, so it's nothing new. We don't just simply drop them off at the nursing home for our own convenience. Secondly, mothers deserve our honor. Our honor. And that's a command with promise. That's not just a good idea. It's not something that's just nice. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." Now, in the original context, that command, it's repeated in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. Paul says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Okay, what's the promise got to do with it? In the original context, in the Decalogue, when Moses was handing when God was giving this law to Moses, and Moses was in turn giving it to the people, where were they headed? They were on Mount Sinai. They were headed to where? The promised what? Land. Honor your father and mother, that it may be well with you, and that you may dwell long in the land. In other words, that was one of the things they had to be obedient to. Honoring, treating right, mom and dad. It was a promised land. And Israel would stay in that promised land. And they would prosper in the promised land as long as they were being obedient to God's law. One of God's laws, honor mother and father. So Paul adapts that command by inspiration. He's allowed to do that. Honor your father and mother that you may live long. Typically, generally speaking, when kids obey mom and dad, things are better. A lot of children have passed from this life way too early because they didn't do what mom and dad told them to do. They forgot a key thing about safety when they were out working on the farm. Or they said, well, Dad, that's old-fashioned. We're in a hurry. We need to cut this corner. We need to do this, and something bad happens. And they didn't listen to mom and dad about driving, you know, when mom and dad was teaching you how to drive. Don't go fast on gravel roads. Watch out for wet leaves piled up in the bend on the road. And that's not the only thing, but, and there's no guarantee that, you know, our children will always grow up to live to a ripe old age. Sometimes things happen, but generally, if we listen to our parents, things go better. There are consequences for compromise. If we don't honor father and mother the way we should. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 20, the record says, whoever curses his father or mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. Now, what did the Proverbs writer mean exactly with that? I don't know. But I know it doesn't sound good. Typically, when it talks about your lamp being put out, that oftentimes refers to death in biblical literature. Cursing a parent. What child would curse a parent? To curse a parent means that you wish evil upon mom or dad. That's unthinkable to me. The child's lamp being put out, maybe that's a curse upon the child. You know, there were children in Bible times who sassed mom and dad, who backtalked mom and dad. Do you know, you realize what the punishment was for that? Stoned to death. A lot of us wouldn't be here today if that were still the law. In contrast, the child who honors parents prolongs his days and improves his life. Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which Jehovah your God is giving you. There's an old Chinese proverb that says respect for one's parents is the highest duty of civil life. I believe that to be true. Not everything written on a fortune cookie is worthless. Common decency demands that we respect our mothers. If we wish to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to honor mother. Our mothers deserve our obedience. That's how we honor mom. You know, we can honor mom with our lips only, the same way that many people try to honor Christ. Oh, I love the Lord Jesus. You going to go to church today? Nah, I got a golf match. Got something else. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, Why? For this is right. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 1:8. Even Jesus obeyed his mother when he was growing up. You want to be like Jesus? Listen to your mom. Teach your grandchildren to listen to their mom, provided their mom is in her right mind. In Luke chapter 2, in verse 51, we looked at it a little bit ago when Jesus was coming back or went to the temple. But I like how chapter 2 ends. After they found Jesus amongst the elders and the doctors hearing and answering questions, remember he asked them famously, "Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" And they understood not the things which he spake to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, listen, and was subject unto them, mom and dad. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Mary treasured in her heart the first recorded words of her son. And no doubt this, she often reflected on these things the rest of her life and the rest of his life. Jesus was 12 years old and he says, "Don't you realize I have to be about my Father's business?" Some translations say, "I have to be in my Father's house." And Mary treasured these things in her heart. Maybe Jesus was not the ordinary teenager. Maybe he had peculiar insight to the law. Mary treasured these things in her heart. I wonder how many times Mary said, "I didn't understand exactly what he was getting at, but things are starting to make sense." And no doubt after his baptism, when he began his ministry. But notice, she kept all these things in her heart, and verse 52 says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." How was he able to do that? Because he had a godly mother. He increased in wisdom. So that's intellectually. He increased in stature physically. He increased in favor with God spiritually. And in favor with man. Socially. That's what parents do. They enable their children to grow intellectually, physically, spiritually, and socially. And that's what Mary did for Jesus. The mother of Jesus feared the Lord with godly fear. She was obedient to civil law, and she was obedient to God's law. And she was a very notable example for her firstborn child. And the care that Jesus displayed for her in his final moments gives us great insight into how we should view mom. And most importantly, she enabled Jesus to grow spiritually. She prepared Jesus for that great day, his great day. Brethren and friends, for all of us, there is a great day coming. Maybe mom taught you about that great day. Maybe you're here today because mom insisted that you go to church and study the Bible. Maybe you're here today because mom never taught you about the Bible and you wanted to find out about it. But whatever reason, mom has had an influence on you. But mom can't help you in that final day. That great day that the Lord appears in the sky and calls the faithful, redeemed home. Are you going to be in that number on that great day? If you believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and you're willing to repent of your sins and confess his name, will you not submit to the command to be baptized for the remission of your sins and then determine to be faithful for the rest of your days. If you are a child of God, but you've fallen back, that great day will impact you as well. There's a great day coming. Are you ready? And if not, take a seat on the front row, would you, right now, as we stand together and sing.